Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message about defying the odds. The Encouraging Word. As we go through life, there are times where it does seem like everything is stacked against us. But when God is for us, who could possibly be against us? In this time of Bible study today, we'll be headed to Genesis chapter 6 with Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, and pastor. And as he opens the Word today, know that we're open to pray with you as well. Connecting online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or this phone number, jot it down, store it in your cell. We're here at 866-899-WORD. 24 hours a day. That's 866-899-9673. And now today's message about defying the odds with Dr. Don Wilton on The Encouraging Word.
Our subject this morning is defying the odds. Perhaps today you find yourself in a position that you literally are wondering if there is any hope. Where do you turn to? What do you do next? How do you step out of the hole that you're in? Where do you go? Defying the odds. I'm going to share with you 9 words of encouragement from God's Word today. My friend, God is going to bless you and He's going to deliver you. And I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I believe God has a special word. I have some friends who have struggled for years. You've gone through the most unbelievably difficult times. Folks, I identify with things like that. I identify with some of the struggles that people go through. You can never shake off some things. There are some tragedies in life that you will experience that you can never shake off. The death of somebody close to you that you loved so much. Perhaps you blame yourself. Perhaps you're just stuck in an aura of guilt. Perhaps something happened to you down the road and you just don't know where to turn to, and the odds are against you. You've done everything. You've been everywhere. You've talked to everybody you possibly can. I want to share with you 9 words of encouragement. Now, we're going to look at Noah today. Why did I pick on Noah? I don't know, because God told me to pick on Noah. He's very pickable. And I'm going to look today at Genesis chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 9. Some of you are going to say that's impossible for you, Pastor. We're going to look just at a few select verses. Now, folks, listen carefully. Noah was a man that knew what it was to defy the odds. Everything was against him. He was in the midst of an incredibly evil society. God told him to build a boat, for crying in a bucket. They didn't even have running water, let alone a bucket to cry in. Not only that, He told him to bring aboard the boat all these animals. Can you imagine getting an instruction like that? Go out there in the bush and say, animals, come on. Come on, lion. Come on, get on board. I mean, just think about it. The whole thing, folks, is defying the odds. Everything is unreasonable. In fact, it doesn't make any sense. I've never seen anybody on their hands and knees in front of a lion going, kitty, 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 come on. Get on my boat. We're going to Lake Bowen this afternoon. Then this flood comes. I mean, what was a flood? Now he's stuck on the boat with all these animals. Everybody outside's dying. But God was doing something. Let me read to you a few verses. First of all, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become. God saw that. Let's go to verse 6. The Lord was grieved, watch this, that He had made man on the earth, and His heart was filled with pain. Interesting here. About God and the character of God. Let's go to verses 8 and 9. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and Noah walked with God. Let's go to verse 14. So God said to Noah, make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. And following on is all the kinds of details you and I can ever imagine. Go to verse 18. I love verse 18. God said to him, Noah, I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons, your wife and your sons' wives with you, etc. Let's go to chapter 7. Turn over to chapter 7 and verse 23. Look at this. Talk about defying the odds. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him. Ever felt like you're the only one? Let's go to chapter 8 and verse 1. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And so God did something about it. He sent a wind over the earth and the waters receded. Let's go to chapter 8 and verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. Now go to chapter 9. I love chapter 9 and verse 1 and following. Then God blessed Noah. Boy, what a sweet sound that is, that word bless. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground and upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you green plants, I now give you everything. Do you know one thing amongst many others that people who are hurting will tell you? They will say to you, I've lost it all. I'm losing everything. My life will never be the same again. I'm going down the drain. It's over. I can never recoup what I've lost. I can never find wholeness and meaning in my life again. I've got such good news for you today. Not only can you, but you will. And God will give it back to you 10 times over, and He will give to you everything that you've ever had before and a whole lot more. Now, how does He do that when the odds are against you? Number one, 9 words of encouragement. God sees. Look at chapter 6 and verse 5. The Lord saw. Now, in this context, what was God looking at? God was totally cognizant of the evil of mankind. Bottom line here, folks, is that God sees. I love that song that we sing. His eye is on the sparrow, and He's watching over me. Now, watch this. This is an incredible statement here, folks. When you and I find ourselves in the most perplexing circumstances of life, there we are in that hospital bed, we've had that diagnosis, we're having to go through struggles. Every time we go home, it's a war zone. Our sons and daughters are disappointing us. We're struggling financially. We're in the pit of depression. We've got people demonstrating against us, trying to demean our character and break us down and throw rocks at us. God is watching. Watching. If you want to see that in the best expression, go to a couple who have little children. It's the most precious thing. Doesn't matter where you are. What is the number one thing little boys and girls want their parents to do? Watch me, Daddy. You know those days when you'd go down to the beach for a week of vacation and boy, you get out the umbrella and the chairs and everything else, and boy, it's like carrying everything down there and trying to walk across the gangplank, and it's hot, 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 and you're running down the beach, and finally you get down there and you plant your chair and your umbrella, and the boys and girls and the children are so happy, and they're running around, and they get their buckets and spades, and they start to dig, and the whole time all you hear is, watch me, Daddy, watch me, Daddy, watch me, Mommy, watch me, Mommy, look, Mommy, look, watch me, Mommy, Daddy, watch me. You've seen a hole dug in the sand before. You've watched a little child run, so why do you watch? Listen to this. God never has the need to sit in His deck chair, close His eyes, and take a nap. He's always watching. You're not alone. You haven't been abandoned. He's watching. He sees. Number two, God grieves. Now look at verse 6 here. The Lord was grieved. The Bible here talks about the heart of God, even talks about pain, qualifies the content of the heart of God. It's one thing to talk about the heart of God, it's another thing to qualify the content of the heart of God. God grieves. Now in this context, we know that God grieved because of the sin of man. Let me tell you how God grieves, folks. God grieves in three ways. Now never forget this. Number one, He grieves with us. Now write this in your heart. He grieves with us. Remember, Jesus Christ became man, came to this earth, and He identified with us in all points, just the same as we, yet without sin. Now, because of our human life, because of the way we are made, we go through all kinds of pain. Bible says that God grieves with us. That points to the empathetic nature of a God who loves us with us. God grieves with us. He's right there alongside us. Number two, He grieves for us. God not only amalgamates Himself with us and partners in our grief, but He hovers over us as the God of heaven, and in His sovereign grace, He breathes down partnership grief over us. He grieves for us. But there's a third way that God grieves. He grieves because of us. That's the cause of grief and the consequences of grief in terms of a righteous and a holy God. So you've got a threefold function of the grief of God here. God grieving with, God grieving for, and God grieving because. What's the bottom line? God grieves.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of Dr. Don Wilton in today's teaching on the encouraging word. Hard to comprehend at times that God grieves, but as we understand that we were created in the image of God, then even the emotions we have are part of a reflection of Him. As we're studying the Word together, if you've got questions or need someone to talk with or pray with, we're here for you. 866-899-WORD is the number. Again, that's real fast. Jot it down. Store it in your cell. It's 866-899-9673. Available 24 hours a day. We'd love to spend time with you, or you'll find all of that and more ways to connect on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Online.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Now watch this, folks, because this is going to bless your heart. All the struggles we go through can be connected into grief. Have you ever met someone who goes through a tough time that's not experiencing grief? Well, what is grief? Does grief mean that I lie down and I throw a tantrum and I have tears? Grief is an expression of the heart. It's a heart that is broken. Grief is a broken heart. It's a disturbed heart. It's a heart that is what? Not at peace. That's a grieving heart. It's a fractured heart. So God here is grieving with me, He's grieving for me, and He's grieving because of me. Because I'm bearing in my body the consequences of the sinful man that I am. Number three, God knows. Love verse 8 and 9. Here in the midst of all of this, the Bible says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Now I want you to contemplate this just for a second. Folks, here is Noah in the midst of this mass of humanity. In fact, we read in verse 5 that everyone, all the people, the masses of society were evil to their very kernel, to their core. He was lost. He was a drop in the bucket. But God knows who you are. One of the greatest fallouts of the struggles that we have is that we psychologically sometimes, sometimes internally, sometimes unknowingly, our pain causes us, our struggles cause us to arrive at a point where we actually believe that we have been forgotten by God. Now that is particularly true in the life of people who have gone through years of struggle. We have prayer requests, and we know people just like you and me who we're talking about many, many years of struggle. People that have been faithful, they've tried everything you can possibly imagine, but it's been relentless. It just doesn't seem to go away. Just never seem to get to the point at which you can get it all together. The pain is always there. Now, folks, I'm going to give you a clue here. When you allow God to take that situation from you, you've suffered great loss, you've gone through this, etc., etc. When you allow God to do what God can do and you hand it over, you're always going to remember the event, but you're going to remember the event without the pain. There's a big difference. We've got it all confused. We say, you know, oh, oop-de-doo, you know, I'm just going to be a wonderful Christian and I'm just going to hand it all over to the Lord, and here comes tomorrow and the whole thing comes back to the table again. We say, well, what's this? Folks, I've never read in the Bible that when God takes over my circumstances that He erases that from my memory or from ever having happened. There are things that happen in our lives, you're always going to remember them. They're always going to be there. But you're going to remember it without the pain. God will deliver you because God knows. God sees and God grieves and God knows. And number four, God directs. From verse 14, God gave to him such specific orders. It's an amazing thing here if I went through all the details. God directs. Did you know that God loves you so much that He takes care of the finest, intricate, smallest details? Let's consider a man who's going to have heart surgery. And here you are, you're a man or a lady, and you've got a heart condition, and they've told you that you have to have heart surgery. How do you pray when you go through heart surgery? Well, let me tell you how you pray. Here comes that cardiologist and that team of medical personnel, and they are around your table, and you are praying for somebody, or you're praying for yourself, both. How do you pray? Folks, you can pray about the very smallest, intricate details of everything that's taking place. Lord, I want to pray for my daddy today. I put my hand on my daddy's shoulder because I love him. And he's going through the surgery. And as he leaves to go and to get prepared for the surgery, I'm going to just pray for him right now. And Father, I want to pray for the details. I want to pray for the cardiologist. I want to pray for the nurses. I want to pray for the people, all the circumstances. I want to pray, Lord, that you would get a hold of that surgeon and that you would use his hands in the minutest details, that you would direct every instrument that he picks up. You know those little fine things that doctors and dentists use that are so tiny, they are finely tuned instruments that deal with the smallest, most insignificant, tiniest little key components in the human body, and they work so delicately. Did you know that God directs the very minutest details of our lives? Here's what we read in the Old Testament, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you know that God literally knit you together in the smallest detail? He knows everything. He understands every spark plug in your body, every nerve fiber, and God directs. When He told Noah to build an ark, He didn't just say to him, Noah, get out there, you've got a bunch of sons, build a boat. He gave him the very specifics. God directs. Incredible. Number five, God establishes. I love verse 18. Interesting statement here that God makes. He says, in light of all of this, I want you to know that I see, I grieve, I know, I direct, but I want you to know that I establish. Now, that word there is written in the future tense. In other words, what God is saying is that there is a direct correlation between what I am doing for you today and what I will always do for you tomorrow. There is a connection that is inherent in the establishment of the covenant of God between the heart of man, the heart of God, and the lifetime of man. I will establish my covenant with you. In other words, God is speaking about a divine purpose. Now, if you want to look at the alternative, go and study the numbers of people that disobeyed God, turned their backs on him. See what the reverse looks like. Number six, God follows through. Chapter 7, verse 23 gets all over me. Here he is in the midst of the flood and things are not going well. Everybody's dead, but Noah was left and his family. God always follows through. Did you know that? Did you know that he loves you that much? He's carrying to completion all that he's put in front of you, all the requests that you have. God follows through. Number seven, God remembers. This is the seventh word of encouragement. God remembers. I love chapter 8 and verse 1, but God remembered Noah. Oh, goodness me. Talk about casualties of our predicaments. Just think about Job in the Old Testament. Can you imagine all those calamities coming upon Job? How easy to come to the conclusion that we actually believe that God has forgotten. Did you know that God never forgets? Now, we cannot understand that because we are living a life, and my wife and I have got to catch a plane in a little while to fly down and join our teenagers down in Florida, and we've got to be at this, and then you've got to do that, and then you've got work to get to, and you've got a message to preach, and you've got children to take care of, and we are a forgetful people, and we've got all the reasons. And when we come to God with our petitions, with the things that are problems to us, the struggles that we have, and we present these things to him, he always remembers. God doesn't need to be reminded. So why do we remind him? Because he's our Heavenly Father. You know, I don't need my wife to tell me that she loves me, and she doesn't need me to tell her that I love her. So why do we bother saying that to each other? Because we love one another. What a time we parents have when our children are growing up. We give them an ice cream and we say, and they look at us. And we look at them and we say, and? You know that fearful and that we have? Yes. What's missing? I don't know. And? I don't know. All right, well then I'll just eat your ice cream. Thank you, Daddy. Let me tell you something, folks. Sometimes God will take your ice cream away because he remembers, but he still wants to be reminded. We confuse that. We've got it all mixed up. We think because God remembers, he never needs to be reminded. Don't mix those two issues. We confuse that with our children. Well, of course they're thankful. I still want to know. For me? No. Yes. But also for them, because I don't want my children to grow up as selfish imbeciles who strut through life getting everything and never saying thank you. So why am I teaching them to say thank you? I know that they're grateful, but that's my responsibility. God will take your ice cream away. He remembers. Number eight, God expects. God expects. Again, I love verse 20 of chapter 8. The Bible says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord. Now, friends, could we just be on the level with one another today? It runs along the same theme that we've been talking about. God did all of this for Noah. God understood, taking care of business. He even directed him, gave him all the details. But folks, don't ever forget that God expects us to build an altar. What does it mean to build an altar? It's coming back to the old theme. It means that we're willing to do whatever it takes to let God know what we think of him. Do you know every time you do not build an altar to God in response to what God has done for you, you are telling God that you don't think very much of him. He expects us to follow through, if you'll forgive me for this statement, for our side of the bargain, folks. Now, God's mercy and God's grace is available because he is rich in mercy and grace. God does for me what he does because he's God. He is not dependent on me to do what God does. But because he is God and because he is my Heavenly Father, God expects me to do my part. Have you made a deal with God? Has God delivered you? Has he set you free? God expects you to build that altar, to go back to the place of your first commitment, to give that gift, to offer that blessing, to travel that distance, to give of your life, God expects that. And then finally, God blesses. I love this last point. God blesses. Chapter 9 and verse 1, then God blessed Noah. That word there, bless, is the same word we use for happiness. And that word happy there is not a shallow level of walking around with a smile on your face. No, he's talking again about the quality of our hearts. To be blessed of God means that we are complete in him. We are fulfilled in him. We have been made whole because of him. All right, watch this. God loves you. He does. And I want to make a declaration to you today. Your circumstance will always be there, but your struggle is over. Your pain is over. And God is the one who gets all the glory.
Oh, how we revel in that fact that the struggle is over. And I know sometimes we know that with our heads, but our emotions are struggling to catch up with that. I pray that you would allow us to encourage you, whether it be on the phone or online. TEWonline.org is the way we can connect. Keyboard to keyboard, that's TEWonline.org. Or feel free to call this phone number anytime. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. But before we get away, closing thoughts from Dr. Don Wilton.
Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow.
If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. If you're ready to have more questions answered before you pray that prayer, give us a call. Let's talk about it at 866-899-WORD. That number again is 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you. And if you'd rather do it online, let's do it online at TEWonline.org. That's TEWonline.org. It's also a great place to discover who we are at The Encouraging Word. And I just want to say thank you. So many are becoming prayer supporters and financial supporters. We call you encouragers.
Have you been praying about how you can make a difference in the world? We would love to have you join us by becoming an Encourager Ministry Partner. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request an Encourager brochure today. There is no greater gift that you can give than to help spread the gospel. Together, we can do much to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Make a commitment to help spread the gospel in 2020. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Until next time, take care and God bless. Remember that phone number. It's to connect you with resources, maybe to help you become an encourager. More importantly, it's always there for prayer at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673.